Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. On Friday morning, I went to Kaiser to pick up my pills. It was one of those deals where I had gotten 3 phone calls, and they had said, "Please pick up your prescription before April 5th, or you will have to reorder it." A terrible, terrible penalty. And so it was the last day, and I thought I would go ahead and pick it up. So I went in, and I picked up my pills, and she said, "Would you like a bag?" And of course, I said, "No." And so I took my 3 big bottles of pills and my wallet and my phone in this hand, and then 2 more bottles of pills on this hand. And I went down the elevator, and I ran into this lovely woman with beautiful baby. And I said, "Oh, it's so nice to see your baby." And we talked about that for a few minutes. And as I walked out into the middle of the street in the parking lot, you know, Kaiser down here, one of the bottles of pills fell out. You know how you go, "No!" And of course it hit just right, and 60 horse pills went out onto the road. So I very quickly, as best I could, you know, sort of got myself down there, put my wallet and my phone on the floor, on the street, and I just started gathering up the pills, and I'm looking for cars. No cars. Suddenly, you know how you can hear them coming around the corner. This car comes around the corner and stops as I'm down here like this trying to get these pills all up. And you can imagine, as soon as it fell, I may or may not have said something in my head only. So now the pressure's on. I already feel kind of embarrassed and clumsy and all of this stuff. And here's this woman sitting in a car waiting for me. She waits about 3 seconds, and then she honks. And again, I may have said 1 or 2 things in my head. But now I'm in this conundrum, and I'm trying to get my pills gathered up. And of course, you know, they didn't just land in a pile. They sort of went ping all over, and I'm gathering up all these big white horse pills. Get them all into the thing. And I stand up and I remember this text from Isaiah. Why? I just finished my sermon on Thursday. Because I could think of 100 things I wanted to say to this person. I mean, what did she think I was doing in the middle of the road? That I just happened to decide, "Hey, here's a good place for a rest." This reading from Isaiah, we are reminded that God is doing a new thing, something I needed to be reminded for just a moment about. Because I was already embarrassed and angry and feeling, you know, you go to the doctor not because you're feeling great, but because you're not. So I was already a bit annoyed. And I remembered these texts from Isaiah. The Lord says in this kind of amazing moment in Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord." And Isaiah, in God's voice, reminds us who God is. "You know me," the Lord says, "the one who made a way in the sea when you were running away from the Egyptians, a path in the mighty waters. Do you remember me? I'm the one," the Lord says, "who threw chariot and horse down so that they could not get back up. They are extinguished like a wick." And then God says, "But don't remember the former things. Don't remember the former things." You know, those things that I don't want you to remember, like the hunger and thirst that you had in the desert and how you whined about the manna and the quail. And I don't want you to remember the former things, like the golden calf that you started worshiping while Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments? I always thought he should remind Moses not to remember that he immediately threw them down and broke them. Way to go, Moses. Don't remember that golden calf, that straining that you did for the gods of the Assyrians, or the straying from God's hope that God's people had been given as they were released from slavery. For it says in the scripture, God is making a way in the wilderness, streams in the desert. It will be amazing, God says. Well, I surely wasn't feeling any of that that day. What I was thinking about in that moment was how selfish, self-centered, and sort of small we can sometimes be. A little bit like the people of Israel, who, as they crawled across the desert, it was always, well, what about us, God? What are you doing to us? And we are so much the same way. Over time, through Twitter battle and Facebook fights, and pretty much any other way that we can do, we find ways to belittle one another. We have become impatient with one another. As I was gathering up my pills, I thought to myself how many times I have sat at a crosswalk. We have a saying in our family as we get a little, well, it's Jeannie and I really. Kids don't know about it because we say other things about them. But you know when someone's in the crosswalk and you're waiting to turn right? We say, walk with purpose. Right? There's nothing more annoying than you're waiting to take a right-hand turn and they're going, oh, I wonder what's happening on CNN today. I thought to myself how impatient and how easy it is to blame others and only see your own particular need and not place yourself within that wider reality that God is creating. The theme comes up again in the gospel lesson. In the face of Jesus' thrice reminders that God will make a new way in an unexpected way through the death and resurrection of Jesus, Mary comes forward and does this very strange and quite amazing anointing. She, in the Gospel of John, it's Mary, the sister of Martha. In the other Gospels, it's just a woman. But Mary, in the story of John, comes and she kneels at Jesus' feet and she breaks open a jar. And once you break it open, it can't be saved. You can't put the cap back on it. It's an amphora. So you break open the top of the jar and the oil is poured out and Jesus' feet is anointed in this incredibly powerful and intimate moment. Mary, whether she knows it or not, is anointing him for the death that is soon to come. The whole room was filled with the aroma of it. She creates this wider space. And in the Gospel of John, and only in the Gospel of John, Judas pipes up. He's sort of the villain in the story. Judas pipes up. You know Judas, the one who used to steal from the purse and the poor. John's the only one that says that too. So John sets it up, and all of a sudden, we go from this sort of wideness and generosity of God's in the God in the midst of them. And Judas speaks up and says, well, why did you do that? And the focus suddenly comes back to the particular, to the impatient, to the self. Suddenly, for just a moment, the wideness of God's mercy becomes the narrowness of self-interest. You see, Judas cannot see what God is doing, this new thing, this anointing of the Messiah, this preparation for death. In the same way that so often we cannot see, as John does not see, an old man struggling to pick up his pills in a parking lot, or a new mother juggling her kids, groceries, and life, or the struggle of a teenager to understand what is happening in the world for them. We become much too much like Judas as he is portrayed in John. We focus in on ourself and our survival. It is us at our worst. Sometimes I wonder if our world is becoming so inward focused and so focused on ourselves that we cannot see the streams that God is pouring out in the desert. It's right there, whether we see it or not. I wonder if we cannot see the bridges God is calling us to stretch between one another. I wonder if we cannot see what God is doing in the world, and so therefore we assume it simply isn't happening. Do you not see, Isaiah says? Do you not perceive what God is up to? Streams in the desert, and the pouring out of the water that quenches our deepest thirst. You see, as Mary anoints Jesus into his death, we also are anointed with the holy oil of life. In our baptism, and if we'd had kids here today, you would have seen me re-anoint them, because in your baptism, at least if you were baptized in the last 30 years, you also have been anointed with oil on your forehead, a reminder of God's holiness in our midst. In our baptism, God has made us his own and called us out to anoint the world with the oil of hope and even joy. For God is doing a new thing. Can you see it? As I had gathered up my pills from the floor, someone in the first service asked me, "Well, did you take them back?" And I said, "No, I just swept them up and blew them off, and I've been using them." It's a little parking lot trash, you know, it's fine. It adds character, and frankly, the pills don't taste all that good anyway. But as I gathered up all of those pills and I kind of stuffed them back into the deal, the woman, I looked at the woman in the car, and she suddenly realized what had happened. That I wasn't, in fact, just, you know, copping a squat in the middle of the thing, having a little rest. But that I was been paid, and she was mortified. You could see the look in her face was like, "Oh, I just honked at an old man." And then she did what most of us would do. She peeled off and went around the corner as fast as she could because she was so embarrassed. My hope is that we would be more kind. That we would stop and we would say, roll down the window and say, "I'm really sorry. I thought you were just having a long rest," or something. Or, "I'm so sorry that I embarrassed you." You see, sometimes we just need to spread that love that God is doing in the new way that God is calling us to life, that we might be the anointers of the world. Amen.